breakfast. This is the Catch Up Podcast of Dylan and Angus. Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.
Wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world but socially distanced from you, Dylan Allcott.
It is the highlight of my week these days.
There's not much to be excited about.
Not hard. No. It's either that or Uber Eats on the couch. So
that's all we have. Of course, Dylan and I are at the moment based in Victoria. So what are we, 2 weeks into our hard stage three or four or whatever we're on, lockdown?
I think originally when 2020 started, it felt like it was taking ages. But now it's flying by.
Yeah.
It is gone quick.
We had a meeting yesterday on the phone, and I couldn't believe it was Friday already and we're doing the show the next day.
You're like, what are you calling me for?
I was like, isn't it Wednesday? Anyway, today, amongst all the doom and gloom of stage three restrictions, there is some of the biggest news in my life, Dylan, of all time to announce on this show this morning before 8 o'clock.
I would say potentially verging the biggest.
Yeah, no, genuinely.
Not some of the biggest,
yeah,
the biggest.
Yeah. It's going to change my career, my life, everything. Just before 8 o'clock this morning, I'm dropping the biggest news in my whole entire life.
Make sure you stick around for that. Before that, we're going to be talking about just how sexy my partner's voice is. My partner, Chantel, she has a new podcast out, and we think she can make anything sound sexy.
Can I give people a little taste of it?
Yeah, go on.
This is Dylan's partner, Shanti.
Welcome to Sexy Stories. I am your host, Chantel Otten.
You'll hear the full thing coming up in the next 15.
Yeah, and we're going to test if she can make absolutely anything sound sexy.
But up next, we're talking interesting animal attacks. Interesting. Not dogs, not cats. Interesting animal attacks, and you'll find out why.
Cat attacks?
No. I don't think that's more interesting. I don't know what he's not accepting dogs and cats.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
My big news coming up before 8 o'clock this morning. Biggest news of my life to be announced. But right now, we want to know. 131060, interesting animal attacks. Now, I'll take interesting from the point that it was an interesting story about how the attack happened, but I'm really looking for interesting animals.
Yeah, animals that you would not expect to be talked about attacking you.
Yeah.
So dogs out of the question?
Sure.
You said cats. Cats don't really attack you.
Are you serious?
What kind of a cat?
Cats are vicious, mate.
Mate, you just don't like cats.
Have you not seen cats attacking children? There's like YouTube, there's like 15-minute montages of those things.
It's a bit morbid. What, they come out and
like jump on them with claws. I'm cats, man. But not interesting.
That's it. That interests me.
Okay. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
Now, this comes off a lady in WA who's okay, but she's landed in hospital because a whale, that's right, a whale. has bruised her ribs. And she's had a small cut after the 30-ton creature crushed her between another whale.
Two whales. So it's hard enough. You know when you go whale? You've been whale watching before.
I've been on the Steve Irwin on the Sunshine Coast.
You never see a whale.
I didn't see a whale.
It is such a stitch up to get your cash. This lady's not even seen one whale, but two, and been crushed between it.
That's right. So the lady's name's Miss Ramsey. She said the humpback swiped her with her fin when her calf swam between the snorkelers and its mother. Now, I think there is some sort of legal distance you're meant to have, certainly with a boat from a whale. So when you see a whale, you're meant to like anchor or like stay a certain distance, turn your engine off or whatever. Now, if they come closer to you.
Yeah, you can't control that.
That's on them. But as long as you keep your social distance from the whales, you're okay. Now, I don't know what they're snorkeling, where a whale is. They should know better.
Ningaloo Reef.
Ningaloo.
Off the coast of WA.
Was it Migaloo or Ningaloo?
Yeah, could have been.
But we want to know interesting animal attacks. Have you ever been attacked by an interesting animal, Dylan?
Yeah, I was actually in Thailand with a few mates, and there's this island off, I think it's off Koh Samui, called Monkey Island. There's a bunch of monkeys there.
Hope you got a rabies.
Well, I jumped out of the boat. I can swim a bit. Obviously can't kick using my legs, but I can use my arms. I went up on the beach, and there was a bunch of monkeys, and they don't normally come close, so you guys will be fine. And then there was probably a group of 20 of us. The monkeys turned around and started attacking us, running towards us. So all my mates ran into the water.
Oh, what do you do?
But I can't run. So I sat there, like, I couldn't get out of the way. My mate, Alex Cann, came up, kicked sand in one of the monkeys' faces, grabbed me, and then dragged me into the water.
Oh, my God.
I reckon I was a meter from getting bitten by 3 monkeys.
Now, that's interesting animal attack.
I know.
And up next, I'll tell you mine, which involves
a cat.
No, something more interesting than that. But an Australian icon.
Ooh.
But 131060, join in the fun. We want to know interesting animal attacks.
I haven't attacked you.
Australian icon. I get it.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Hey, coming up soon, we're going to be talking about my beautiful partner, Chantelle's extremely sexy voice. She can make anything sound sexy.
Or can she? We'll put her to the test.
Very, very soon. But right now we're talking about interesting animal attacks after a 29-year-old woman is in a serious but stable condition. After
a couple of bruised ribs.
Yep, crushed between two humpback whales off the coast of Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to even see one normally.
Yeah.
She's seen two.
She was snorkeling with them.
Must have got a bit close.
It's kind of one of those things where you see an attack in their habitat and you're like, you kind of knew what you were doing.
Or even if they're at, you know, if they're in captivity and they attack someone, you're like, you know,
I got attacked by a dingo on Fraser Island.
You're not the actual dingo who took my baby, baby.
No, not as Ellie Chamberlain style. Mm. But did just get a little nip on the toe. Now it was one with a ranger. So it was meant to be like a tame one. And I had thongs on and he was sniffing my feet. And then all of a sudden just took a little nip.
Your fault for being too close again.
I was in his habitat, Fraser. We all know Fraser Island, baby.
Exactly right.
All right. Let's go to your calls. 131060. We'll start with Shane in Cairns. Shane, interesting. Not dogs, not cats. Interesting animal attacks. You've got a few.
Yes. Yep, how you going? Me and wildlife parks don't really get along. I've been beaten up by a big red kangaroo, hit by the tail. I've been pecked between the eyes by an emu. I've been bitten by a koala.
Is that possible?
I've been attacked by a swan.
Yes, there's some swan at Albert Park.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Melbourne that are quite aggressive.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good list.
It's a good list.
Plenty of native Australian animals getting at you as well.
That's right, mate. Stay at home. We'll go to Elise in Geelong. You've been attacked by what interesting animal?
A ram.
Oh, okay.
Where was that?
With horns.
It's the Royal Geelong show. They've got like an animal exhibit. I was at five and I was put in the pen with the sheep and the ram sneezed in my mouth and then I reacted and then it like rammed me.
Hey, living up to its name. That's what I like to hear.
thank you. Dave in Ripley, you're up next, mate. What's your interesting animal attack?
Yeah, they're going, I've been done by a couple of sharks when I've been spearfishing and that.
Okay, easily the most scary of things to happen.
Yeah, couple of wobbegongs have tried to bite me.
Okay, wobbegongs are quite a small shark for those who don't know.
I'm thinking great ones.
They get pretty big.
How big?
Okay.
The ones I've seen can get up to about 1.6 metres.
A 1.6 metre shark, Angus.
I pulled in a wobbegong once. And it wasn't that big, so obviously I must have had
Their teeth curve backwards, and once they latch on. And then also been attacked by a bronze whaler as well, about 1.5 metres. There's only a little one, but...
That's big.
But she's all right.
Bronzies.
She's all right. In their spearfishing, habitat, so deal with them.
Exactly, and great call. But spearfishing, I see way too many videos of people. Have you seen that one with the father and son swimming, and the dad turns around to the son as the great white... bangs him in the head like he knocks heads with a great day.
I don't have any to go.
Sue in Cleveland, Queensland, your interesting animal attack?
A seal.
Ooh.
Seal?
We were snorkeling at Galapagos Island and all of a sudden this seal came rushing at me and I screamed into my snorkel. Not a good sound. What? But
I didn't know seals can get aggressive. Can they get pretty aggressive towards you?
Well, in the end, he wasn't, but he was actually trying to play with us. He was circling us and everything. But when they come at you, like their teeth are bare, look like they're bearing it.
Yes. It's weird. You're not the only one as well who's been attacked by seal. Guy Sebastian was telling me. On the set of Voice. Same thing. Very aggressive. Tried to bite him.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
We both are in loving relationships. Actually, you've been dating your partner, Chantelle, for like maybe 2 weeks longer than me.
Yeah, almost around the same time.
Yeah, it is cute.
It is very cute. And
it's good for us to remind each other of anniversaries coming up as well.
Correct. We're both very lucky as well. We're both batting well above our average, your partner, my partner, Chantelle. Now, Chantelle is incredibly talented. She's a sexologist, so you might think, what's that? So she's a psychosexologist, so a psychologist and helps people with their sexual problems and desires and all kinds of different things. And she...
Hey, lucky you, Dil.
Yeah, yeah. And she also has an incredibly soothing voice to listen to. So
it's like that ASMR. Yeah. You could go to bed listening to Shanti's voice. It's gorgeous.
So she was born in Australia, but she studied her sexology degree over in Amsterdam. She's got Dutch parents. So it's kind of a bit of an interesting twang in there. And she's got a new podcast out called Sexy Stories with Chantel Otten. Now, content warning. It's a bit raunchy, some of it.
Not what we're about to play you, but if you want to go check out the podcast, it's people who have submitted their sexiest stories to her and she reads them out verbatim.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is just a, obviously this is not the naughty part of it. This is the PG part of the podcast. This is a little taste of her voice.
Welcome to Sexy Stories. I am your host, Chantel Otten, and I am here to read out your erotic stories that you have sent in to me via Instagram or email.
Now, you might be thinking, is she putting that on? I can guarantee you she's not.
That's how she talks all the time.
Now, but can she make anything sound sexy?
That's what we're going to challenge. Now, I was like, what can I get her to read out to see if she can make even some disgusting things potentially sound a bit sexy. So here's a little taste of the first part of her challenge.
How to apply. Step one, wash hands before and after treating wound. Gently clean wound and surrounding skin. Dry thoroughly. Step two, peel back protective backing. Place Band-Aid onto wound.
A Band-Aid? You made a Band-Aid sound sexy?
How to make a Band-Aid sound sexy. Now, I thought, what's one thing that is nearly impossible to make sound sexy?
Bobcatter.
I was like, well, close. Pretty similar, actually, these two. Right. I thought Angus O'Loughlin, right? So I went on Google. I was like, Wikipedia, Angus O'Loughlin. Yeah. Guess what? Hasn't got one.
Yeah, no, I took it down, you know. I didn't want it.
I was shocked. I couldn't find it. So when I went on, I searched Angus O'Loughlin bio. Ready? And on www.celebritybirthdays.com.
Okay.
What kind of
am I on is, that?
It said you are, ready?
Have my right birthday?
The hashtag number 1 millionth most looked up birthday on this website.
That ain't bad.
Man, I couldn't believe it. Whoa, I'm like, there must only be a million, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we took, ripped off your bio from that, and this is what how Shanti read it out.
Angus O'Loughlin, radio host, about radio DJ and co-host best known for Australian show Shazam Top 20 and for being Dylan Alcott's radio partner.
That's a lie, you added that.
Before partnering with Shazam, his...
Shazam, it gets me.
She couldn't take it serious.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus. Been saying since the start of the show, biggest news of my life. But it's not just the biggest news of my life, it's the biggest news of my family's life. Well, you know, for certain members of my family. I think a lot of people might have caught on to what this news is. A lot of people are going to be surprised. I have sent a text out during the last week, so a lot of people do know. Family have known for a while. But last weekend after our show on Sunday, Dylan, it was like 9:05.
Yep.
I said, Dylan, don't go anywhere.
Oh, and I was like, oh, that always means trouble for me normally.
I hit record. And I sent you a photo on my phone, a text message. And this is the Dylan's reaction to seeing the content of that text.
No way. Is that real?
What is the video of?
It's an ultrasound. It's not yours, is it?
I'm going to be a dad.
Off, bro. That's amazing.
Emily, my girlfriend is 12 weeks pregnant.
What?
Well, 13 weeks pregnant, actually.
Just went,
yeah. I'm having a baby.
You know how much I love you, but these things, you are known to be a bit of a
prankster, yeah. A lot of people have
swear
my friends.
Do you swear on our friendship right
I
now?
I do swear on our friendship, yeah. I'm expecting my, I won't say what the gender is. I'll save that for maybe next week on the show. I do know. But I am going to be having a baby. February 10th. He or she will be born.
You swear on my life, man.
I swear on
you.
You
love me, you swear on my life.
Yeah, I swear on your life.
That's amazing.
I know, it's a COVID baby. I don't want to do the math too much, but it must have been around March or April that...
That's so... Congrats, that's amazing.
Yeah, man, it's...
I can't believe you just sent me that. I thought it was going to be so stupid. That's awesome. How you feeling?
Nervous, excited. And plus, this is, I guess, the bigger announcement. Obviously, our family know, but I'm about to post up... Right after this, a photo, you know, the classic photo holding
That's
up
awesome.
The ultrasound. But yeah, we're expecting a baby. We've known for a little while. Emily had a sore stomach at about 5 weeks and went to the doctor to go get a check. She thought it was something else. And, yeah.
Good job with the keeping it 12 weeks. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. You know, yeah. You know, and you can't.
It's so exciting. I mean, we told our parents.
Well,
I mean,
course.
Emily actually told her mum before me because we weren't expecting this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, exciting.
How'd you go?
Surprise news. I looked out the window and I was shocked.
Oh.
I was rocked. I mean, that's your world changed in a second.
Oh, man, I'm shook. Look at me.
I know. And we've done the test. He or she is healthy. It's amazing, this whole process, and watching Emily, you know, slowly change. She's got a little bump. And interesting thing about COVID, there's so much things that I'm going to talk about, and I'll talk about it next, some of the trials and tribulations of having the COVID baby or a baby during COVID.
I mean, last week on the show, we talked about it.
That's right. The stories that I told last week about men having trouble seeing their partners and being part of the process
might
for the
be
first
you.
Baby.
Might be.
Yeah, they were my stories.
Yeah.
I was able to go to the first scan, but I've been advised not to go to second and third scans. It's me. That's my story. I was telling this. I wasn't telling the story of a friend.
I'm shook, man.
I was telling the story of me. So that's the announcement. Up next, we'll get into a bit more detail, but I'll tell you some of the crazy stuff around this COVID baby and also the strength and power of Emily, my partner.
Bloody congrats to Em. She's such a star.
Her parents, she's so incredibly close to her family, and she is separated from them at this time and can't see them.
Yeah,
and so we'll get it. We'll talk about all of that next. But there's the announcement.
That's amazing. Can I just say, after the bit you did last week about the babies and parents, our boss Speedy was like, "Love it, mate. That is the best content. You're so smart coming up with that. Where'd you get that from?" He was loving it. And you were just like, "Oh, yeah,
it's my real life.
Well, internet. It's your real life.
I got a lot of baby. My first child is on the way.
I can't wait to wet the head."
Me too. I've been wetting the head since I found out, mate.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Tell you what's really, really good for your Instagram algorithm? Having a baby. You put up a photo 6 minutes ago. It's Saturday morning, so not very busy on socials. 30 comments already and just a squillion likes.
Yeah, a lot of text messages coming through of friends who didn't know the news, just put up the gram and announced on air. That was, you know, obviously the inner sanctum of our really close friends and family have known, including you, Dil, of course. But yeah, Emily, my partner, is 13 weeks with our first child.
How are you feeling?
It's super overwhelming. It's amazing now to tell everybody because it's secret. It's been really easy to keep this secret. Emily's not really showing yet, but she's got a small bump. But because we're at home, no one asks questions. Like, no one knows that Emily's got the top button of her jeans off, and no one knows that she hasn't been drinking for the last 8 weeks since we found out. So we found out at 5 weeks, so quite early on.
And people walking past your house probably think she has been drinking because there's plenty of bottles out the front.
Oh, don't worry, I've been making up for the both of us. But it's been that year, you know, 2020. This year truly has probably been the worst of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my dog, Buckets, 7 years old, a couple of weeks ago.
Your best mate, beautiful Buckets.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of this, you know, I'm seeing it as a transition of sorts. You know, I lost the life of the thing that I was closest to, apart from my family, and he is family, of course. But then, you know, also having the joy of something coming through, it kind of feels like this magical connection between the two of them.
I thought about that when you told me.
Yeah.
The world sometimes works in a wonderful way, you know what I mean?
And I'm glad that he or she will announce next week the gender, but I'm glad that he or she is going to be born next year in 2021 because I'll be happy to scrap the calendar on this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been really joyous news. And
it filled me with joy. Like, I've been struggling with 2022. And when you told me last week and I went home and told my partner, Chantel, she knew, and I was like, it's just the best. It was just such beautiful, happy news.
Yeah, and it's, obviously I was there for it, but the real hero of the story is Emily.
Yep. How's she feeling? How's she doing?
She's doing amazing. Like, she's had such minimal morning sickness. There's this tablet, like it's an Elevit or something. It's like a women's tablet to get everything, you know, the nutrients, minerals, whatever in, and apparently tastes like ass.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a sick off having those at the start, but she figured out a way to eat it with meals and whatever. But, you know, she's been a superstar and is a superstar, and we're in Victoria. We've made that pretty clear at the moment, and we're in lockdown. Her family's in Sydney.
Yeah, so how did you guys announce news not knowing you could get together?
We actually got together. We found it really early. Emily called her mum as soon as she found out. We didn't know. So the doctor was like, just do a pregnancy test. She had a sore stomach. And then Em called her mum straight away because they're super close. And we luckily got to Sydney a couple of weeks after that, in between the second wave of Victoria lockdown. So we did get to announce to her dad and her brothers and her close family in person, which was amazing. But it's been really difficult for both of us. But, you know, Emily's been the rock. You know, her family, who, like I said, she's so close to, you can't get over how close his family is. And she hasn't been able to share that journey physically with her family and friends in New South Wales. And that's tough.
Yeah.
It's her first child. Maybe if it was second, it would be a little bit like...
Hey, you've already had one.
And I've seen my sister. She's about... my sister's due a couple of months before us. And she's like, eh, whatever. We've done this thing. Mm-hmm. But when it's your first child, it's so different. And,
what about your mum?
Yeah, my mum's over the moon. I mean, you should have seen the tears. Every time she looks at Emily now, she just cries. So mum's over the moon. And we got to... Obviously, mum's in Victoria, so we got to say that. But we won't be able to see her for the next 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for her. And I know everyone's going through a lot with COVID. And, you know, this is just our little journey and our obstacle to get over in this time. But as a first-time dad, I haven't been allowed to go to a couple of scans and a couple of appointments.
Oh, yeah.
It's been pretty difficult.
Yep.
Luckily, I was able to go to the first at 5 weeks, we found out. She was 7 weeks. Or he was 7 weeks. And we haven't been, I haven't been able to go into the hospital since. And... it's been really difficult because we had the 13-week scan during the week and I just had to drop Emily off at the hospital and wait
sit
out the
front.
Yeah, and I understand, and here's the thing. If I have to do that, then somebody just stay 1.5 metres away from someone in a supermarket. Stand on the stickers.
Or if you've got COVID, don't go out.
Yeah, one in four people weren't at home when they should have been quarantined, mm-hmm. you know, from police tests in Victoria recently. And it's really tough because, you know, Emily came back into the car on a high. You know, she'd just seen our baby for the first time.
Felt a heartbeat, yeah.
The 13 weeks. Well, luckily, I have heard the heartbeat.
Okay.
But, you know, at 13 weeks, he or she's now formed. You know, there's nose, there's fingers, there's toes. And it was just a little jelly bean on that 7 week scan. And so I kind of missed that. Even though, you know, there was a USB with all the information on it and whatnot, it was pretty tough to miss those scans. And I'm going to miss the ones in the future as well. But I understand the process of what we're in. But apart from that, I mean, that's the slight negatives on what is incredible news, life-changing news. And it's amazing because our radio station is now angled a little bit older, skewed
perfect.
With their music.
We'll have a bigger
and look
show,
at us,
thanks.
Straight in the demo.
And big responsibility for me as well as godfather.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not religious.
Well, Emily is.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
We're a little late, but we're here.
Am I?
The A-hole is a thread on Reddit, which is the front page of the internet where people anonymously put up situations in their life where they're confused. They've been called an A-hole and they're like, am I? Mm-hmm. And the internet decides.
Ripper today.
Yeah.
Very interesting to see where this one goes. Am I the A-hole for being angry that my boyfriend posts photos of his body online?
Mm.
All right, so when
I'm going to put myself in both perspectives.
Yeah,
as a guy to girl as well.
Correct. So when I first started dating my boyfriend, he had body confidence issues, we've all been there, and was a bit on the chubby side and didn't like to show his body. I told him that confidence was very attractive and that being unconfident was very unattractive. Bit harsh. He then started a diet and exercised and lost a lot of weight and he's pretty toned now. And he's actually started posting photos of himself in board shorts and workout gear and now even getting his top off and he's getting a lot of attention. He's always Snapchatting himself at the gym and he's even started his own fitness page. My female friends keeps liking all his posts and making comments on how happy and great he looks. I didn't appreciate them making comments on my boyfriend.
Interesting.
Nor posting continuously. I talked to him about it, how I felt, and he seemed taken aback. He said that I was the one who kept telling her to gain confidence and kept shoving pictures of my friends in her face all the time, and it made him feel worthless and not good enough. We fought about it, and he said that I'm being the ass because I was the one who compared me to my male friends and now I don't appreciate when he built confidence for himself. We got into a massive argument over it and I honestly feel like he isn't listening and he's liking the new attention. Am I the a-hole here?
Interesting. Now, here's my argument with this. I have to put myself in the perspective of if my girlfriend, right? Just because I'm a male. So I'm going to flip myself and put myself in her shoes. If you start dating that person and that lifestyle exists... so they're posting up bikini photos, they're posting up gym selfies. That's been existing and you enter that, then that's on you. You knew what to expect. But with this girl's perspective, he's changed into this. So this is a new, he usually wasn't showing off the rig, wasn't usually doing this. I kind of see where she is coming from.
Incorrect. Ready? I told him that confidence was attractive and that unconfidence was very unattractive.
I don't agree with everything.
But
the words that she said.
Forced him into it.
Okay.
So she has influenced his change.
Right.
Right? She's almost pressured, like, you know, talking about the fact that he wasn't you know, the most confident dude. He's now found confidence.
Mm.
And then she's going, that's not cool. What does she want?
I can kind of see where she's coming from. I understand. Like, imagine if you know this person as the guy who posts up his Legos or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's posting up his...
Lego guy?
I don't know. He's posting up his XR6 Ford Falcon, right? And then all of a sudden, he's the guy in the gym lifting up the shirt, showing off the rig.
That's why this is good, because we are split here.
Yeah.
You're saying no, a-hole.
I don't think she's an
I'm
a-hole.
I'm saying she's being a bit of an a-hole, so we need some people to decide. 131060. Give us a call. Let us know if you think she's being an a-hole or not.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
As we do.
Am I an a-hole?
It is a thread off Reddit, the front page of the internet, where people put up their anonymous stories. They know they're touching a line. Are they being an a-hole? Are they not? They put it to the public. And then the public decides. Now, this one has split you and I, Angus. Am I the a-hole for being angry that my boyfriend posts photos of his body online? This is after a guy who was a bit chubby and he lacked confidence. And his girlfriend was like, babe, lacking confidence, unattractive. He then got in the gym, lost a lot of weight. He's now started his own fitness page, getting his kid off on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And his girlfriend says, I'm not cool for it. I'm not cool for it. He's got to take that stuff down because her friends are liking the comments, commenting, saying how happy he looks. Is she the a-hole?
Look, I think, certainly some of the language she used around confidence with him in the paragraph we read from the internet, bit of an a-hole. But as a whole, it's not the guy that she started dating. And yes, she tried to instill some confidence in it. And should she go, well, now you've got what you want, you can't have your cake and eat it too? Sure. But it's also like, I don't know if I would want my partner like posting all the photos up on Instagram of the hot bod and getting all the dudes with the thirsty little three driplet comments. Nah.
No. You got to let him be.
It's tough, though.
It is.
Maybe it's jealousy issues. You know
I am
what I mean?
Saying she is an a-hole.
I'm saying she's. I'm on the fence with it.
She can't be on the fence.
Okay, she's not an a-hole.
Thank you. She said that she wanted a confident man. She's got one now. Guess what? Now she doesn't want it.
Shami in Penrith, you're up first. Tell us, is she an a-hole? Shami? We know you're there.
Oh, no.
We'll go to our next call, which is Tofiq. Tofiq in Chadston.
Hi.
Hello, mate. Is she an a-hole?
I think she is, because she's not putting up with that man when he got the confidence. She's the person who put her into all these workouts, and it takes so much for a person to bring back that confidence back. Mm. You know, because I myself had been, you know, like, I used to play a lot of football. I used to like my body a lot. After I got married, I become so, so fat. And I started... I started working out, you know, like one day while we were very intimate, and she was like, you got very fat. I said, all right, I'm going to bring back my confidence. And when I'm out, she's all the time like, why you are out all the time? You don't love me anymore. So it's like, you know, like double mind, you know, like. Then I started telling her that you need to come with me. You know, like, you told me that, you know. So I pretty much understand what the guy has been gone through.
You're a legend. Thank you for being so honest. We appreciate it.
I love that. I've also justified my isolation kilos now, because I can say I've got a dad bod coming now that
you
I've announced I'm having
a baby. But you're still
a baby.
Hot. You're still a hot dad.
Thanks, man.
Daddy.
Tash in Harvey Bay? Anna Bay. What do you think? Is she an a-hole for getting what she wanted and now not wanting it?
Yes, I think she is.
Okay.
And I think that there's more to it. I think there's a lot of trust issues happening. You know, she pushed him into it and now she's not happy putting it on there. I think she should be supporting him. And plus, if you've got it, flaunt it. If you're not doing anything wrong, you know, what's it matter?
Sure. Okay.
I agree.
Well, we did take three calls off the air. All of them agreed that she is an a-hole, which means...
She's an a-hole! A-hole. She's an a-hole!
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
I'm about to share an opinion I believe is only in the minority. Horses, no longer a needed species.
Brian Gosling is not hot.
Parking inspectors, as people, flogs. All of them.
Another one of Angus's unpopular opinions.
This segment can also be called Angus O'Loughlin Takes on the World, because just week by week, we've been going a year and a half together now, you just shut down people from all different lives.
Yeah, certainly don't discriminate against anybody.
So once you said horses are not needed anymore.
Of course. We've got cars.
You said medicine's too good.
We've got too many people.
The weak, i.e. disabled people, should die.
I didn't specifically say disabled people.
Well, why
you
were you
said
staring
that?
At me when you were saying it?
Because you're the only person in the room.
Valid. What do you got for us this week?
There's news out this week that international travel might not resume until 2022.
Horrible
and
news.
I think it's great news.
That's just selfish.
Virgin Chief Executive Officer Paul Scurrah said there may be no return to overseas flights for the airline for up to 3 years after COVID-19 pandemic decimated the travel industry.
Can I guess why this is happening?
Please.
Well, you've very positively, however, have really flipped your life upside down with the news that you dropped about half an hour ago that you're having a baby.
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah.
So when you have a baby, there's no international travel needed, really, because it's pretty tough to get your newborn overseas. So you're like, if I'm not going to travel, I don't want anyone else to travel.
No, that's not my point.
Is that part? Give me.
Actually, to be perfectly honest, you're the first one to say that and for me to think that. You're right. I won't be able to do any international travel. Maybe a quick Bali trip with a 1 or 2 year old, if I'm lucky. But look, here's my point. Australia, the economy is decimated. Mm. Spend your money at home. I've been to WA once for a girlfriend model search competition that I was hosting, the MC over to Westfield. I rocked up there after the 5 hour flight from the East Coast. I got there, landed, hosted, stayed the night, 6 a.m. flight out.
Just one more time. Girlfriend magazine model search.
Yeah, back in the days. Yeah. I hosted that, yeah. Paid well.
Cool.
Now, if you remember back in the bushfires, and who doesn't remember, but it's tough when you just remember all of the tragedies
like
that keep happening,
ago.
Right? There was a great initiative called Empty Esky, where all of us pledged to grab an empty esky and head to rural towns and support them. Obviously, the empty esky being like a metaphor, but also you physically could take one and fill it up with goods from that local town to support their economy. It's going to be the same for this. We've got a great opportunity to stay in our shores and celebrate the beautiful country, celebrate the places we've never been. Broome. I want to go to Broome.
Yeah.
I've never been to Darwin.
There's like a beautiful pink lake somewhere over in Western Australia. I'd love to.
There's also one on the way to Adelaide as well. There's a gorgeous pink lake. But there's so many amazing sights and scenes that we haven't taken advantage of. We just go Bali, Thailand, Europe.
Yeah.
I'm going to LA. No, you're not. Presumably not to 2022. My unpopular opinion is I'm glad about it because we get to keep our money in here and boost up ourselves.
That is a beautiful sentiment sob story to actually pretend you just don't want us all travelling because you can't anymore.
If you can't travel, I can't travel. We're not travelling anywhere.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
We're talking about the ex.
I really need to know. Now, I'm surprised you even made it into the studio today because you somehow managed to peel yourself off the couch. Because I know you are a massive, massive Bachelor in Paradise fan.
You know what? I've been watching it with my girlfriend, yeah. It's one that we've been watching. It's a guilty pleasure because I don't feel good watching it and I don't feel like I've gained anything after it.
There are a few weapons on the show, aren't there? Do you reckon they are
one way to put them.
Being themselves or are they playing it up for TV?
There's this Kieran and Kiki. They're the couple.
Bit of yucky behaviour going on.
Well, she got busted with a mic pack on still, where she goes, no, we have to make it to the commitment, Sarah. It's going to look good for TV. And I was like,
oh, but he's being a bad boy. He's done some yucky stuff. Someone who was on there was Kira Maguire. Now, she's been on a few series of The Bachelor originally. Then she went on Bachelor in the Paradise, and she met this guy called Jared, who you might remember is the tall blonde guy.
The winery guy.
He was a bit.
What was he?
No, not creepy. What's the right word?
Clingy. He's the one who went super stage red-faced with he got down to the finale with Sophie Monk, and then he like walked off, and I thought he's going to walk into the ocean.
And he walked down the beach with like suit shoes on, which you never do. So they had a beautiful relationship, probably about 2 or 3 years, and then they broke up about a year ago, and then she went on the show this time around. Didn't meet anyone, but she's paired up with her new boyfriend, Love Island star. Jeez, they just kind of stay in the circle.
Star.
Matt Zukowski, right? Anyway, this week Jared took to Instagram because he was flat. He shared a screenshot from a DM he sent by Zukowski because Zukowski sent him a really strange Instagram message saying, hey, man, where are you up to in The Last Dance? Because I don't seem to remember where I am. And this guy's like, what? Jared's like, what? Who is this guy? And then he found out he's dating Kira and he goes, oh, my God, this Matt guy is scabbing my Netflix.
So Kira, since they've been broken up, has still got his password. Correct. And has been leeching off his account.
He put up an Insta saying, public service announcement, if you think that your Netflix account is getting hacked by Russian spies because it says continue watching, even though you haven't watched, change your bloody password because your psycho ex is...
Ooh, he called her psycho.
Nah, just chuck that bit in there.
Don't do that.
Nah, she's not. She's good. Because it could be your ex who broke over a year ago, a new boyfriend, his new account.
Wow.
Mm.
Interesting. Have you ever stolen anything physically, like a piece of
property? It's
not stolen,
but still using.
Yeah.
My partner got me these really nice paintings.
Previous partner.
And they're in the house still. So I look at them all the time. Is that cool? I'm still using them.
Did she paint them or bought them for you?
No, they were bought.
Okay, I think it's better. If she'd painted them for you, then no. But if it's a nice painting. Do you look at it and think of her?
No, not in a sometimes.
Okay.
But Chantel's cool with that.
Chantel, I was going to say, your partner.
Yeah, she knows it.
I think that's
all
right.
Yeah, I think it's all right as well.
I think it's all right.
Yeah, good. We've got a call coming through as well.
We do have. Since I announced that I'm having a baby, due Feb 10 next year, 13 weeks my partner is, my good friend, your good friend, Danny Clayton, you might know him from Channel V, just might know him as an all-round good bloke. He's been texting me going, get me on the air. I need to say something. And he's just so overwhelmed at the moment. He's such a good guy. Danny is with us. Danny, what do you want, mate? What's happening?
I was going to talk about stealing from exes.
Yeah, we need
relationships.
Yeah.
What have you stolen?
So, look, it wasn't items or money or anything like that.
Hearts.
But
you
just
stole hearts,
didn't you?
Just
an entire friendship group.
Okay.
And that's the worst kind of thing to steal from someone.
Okay.
Is it when all of their friends become your friends?
Good place to play in, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've done in a previous relationship. But I felt no guilt at all. No guilt.
Are you still mates with them all these days, or did you just kind of burn them?
Yeah, totally. I'm still friends with all of these people, and it was because of the circumstance of the breakup.
You're on the right side of it, so they couldn't, cut you out knowing you were still a good dude.
Yeah, and they were like, man, this person is awful. How could they do that to Danny? And so they just decided to jump ship. Anyway, that's what I thought I contributed.
Well, Danny, you're on the air. Thank you, Danny.
You also stole my heart at Splendor. You beautiful.
Gosh. You stole my T12 lumbar when I had to carry you through the goddamn bush.
Hey, we're both paraplegics now. Nothing wrong with that, baby.
Thank you, Danny.
Cheers, boys.
And that's our show. We're back on the air tomorrow from 7 o'clock.
And big congrats, brother.
Thank you, man.
Having a baby.
Yeah, you can check out the photo of the ultrasound, the classic photo of the announcers on my Instagram. Until tomorrow, we'll see you then.
Want some more? Check out more Catch Up podcasts on the Hit app now. And be listening to Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus, Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.